would, turn in your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Remember in the first chapter last week, we saw the calling, and not only do we see Jesus and how he points back to the Gospel of John and how Jesus is from the beginning, he is God, he is the Word of life, that we are called to walk in the light because he is light, and to not walk in the darkness. And also, the very last three verses about sin, that we are to confess our sin, and he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so now we come to chapter 2, and we'll be reading the verses 1 through 14. 1 through 14 of 1 John 2. And this is the word of our Lord. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And that is the word of the Lord. For us this morning, we find here the common address to God's children, to God's people, in this phrase, my little children. And so when he says my little children, he's talking to all of God's children, to all of God's people. And the first two verses continues from chapter 1 that if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of our sins. But one of the reasons he is writing is so that we will stop sinning, so that we won't continue in sin, so that we'll grow in sanctification. However, he knows that in the process of sanctification, we continue in sin. We still have that sin tendency remaining in us until we are brought into glory and are perfectly and immediately righteous before the Lord. Because here he said he's writing this to that you would not continue in sin, so that he would comfort you. Because while you're in Christ, if you are in Christ, you have faith in Christ, then even when you do sin, you still have. Not that you it kind of goes back and forth and it wavers, but you still have and always will have an advocate with the Father, one who's pleading with you. That the Father would see his righteousness instead of ours. And that is Jesus, our advocate. And he's also our propitiation. Our propitiation in that means that he is our wrath bearer. That he is continually that, and in some sense, that his bearing our wrath is still applicable to us continually. That never ceases. That his once for all sacrifice on the cross was His propitiation for us. He bore the wrath of God that was due to us for our sin. And so keep that in mind and be comforted that even when you do sin, Christian. And then he goes in and he says that he is the propitiation and our advocate for the whole world. Now, since we're going to be going into the Gospel of John in a few weeks after Ephesians in the evening, and we're here, John writes similarly throughout all of his writings, just as, you know, if we were to write a letter and write a letter to 10 different people, they would be similar. There would be similar tendencies. And when he usually talks about the word world, does he mean all of creation or the entire earth or every single person, past, present, and future? And the answer is no to all of that. In fact, as he's primarily writing to a Jewish audience, when he says world, he's referring to Gentiles or Gentile way of living, which is in sin, or the ways of the world. And so here, when he says for the whole world, he's meaning not just Jews, but Gentiles also, and not just Jews and Gentiles specifically, but all different types of people from all different nations and tongues and tribes. And so then the main point here is that all kinds of people have Jesus as their advocate and as their propitiation, not just Jews. Verse 3 then begins another of John's themes in 1 John, that if we keep his commandments, we see that often through 1 John, if we keep his commandments. Beloved, if you keep the commandments of the Lord, you are showing yourself to be one of God's children. You are giving yourself assurance of salvation, because that's the main point of 1 John, to give assurance to those who have faith. And that's what he's getting at here. He wants you to have assurance. He wants you to be comforted even when you do sin. That you still have an advocate. You still have that propitiation of Jesus. And if you keep his commandments, then surely, and your thoughts, words, and deeds keep his commandments, then you are surely his. Verse 5, keeping his word, we know we are in him. We know that word know is that word of assurance. We know, we have assurance of, if we keep his commandments. And after that, in verses 7 through 11, one of the commands the Lord is calling us to is love one another. Another one of John's main emphases in his writings. He talks about love and loving one another. He says he doesn't come with a new commandment. This is one that's old commandments from the beginning, from the Ten Commandments, even before that. And yet, perhaps to some of his readers, it's new to you, is what he's saying. And so it's an old commandment. And it's eternal commandment that we should love God and we should love our neighbor as ourselves, the two greatest commandments. And he says, if you are in the light, or if you're in Christ, then what it means to walk in the light is to love your neighbor and not hate one another. The one who hates is in darkness. And so, beloved, we're called to love one another. And then verses 12 to 14, he addresses what seems to be all different ages or all different types of maturity in Christ, because he goes back between the father, young man, and children. And all of them apply to all of us who are in Christ. And so here he's writing this letter. He says, because your sins have been forgiven. He's already, in the Gospel of John, showed you how they are forgiven. They're forgiven in Christ. But here he's trying to give you assurance, he's trying to give you comfort, and so he says they have been forgiven if you have faith in Christ. Because you know the Father, because you know Jesus who is from the beginning, because you have overcome the evil one, because you're strong and the Word of God abides in you, for all those reasons, you can have assurance of your salvation. And so he's writing this letter to comfort you and confirm in you that you're a child of God, that you can have assurance of your salvation. That you have Jesus, that you have your advocate and the propitiation. And if we keep his commandments, that if we love each other, even if it's not perfectly, and yet we still have it from our heart, we have this desire to keep his commandments. We still have the desire to love one another, even though we act stupid sometimes towards each other. He says, your sins are forgiven. You're his child. You know the Father, you know Jesus, the Word of God abides in you, then you're his child. And so maybe you're struggling spiritually. You come here today, you're struggling spiritually. You're struggling with your faith. Here he's saying, look at your fruit. He's saying, look at your fruit, and that should be a testimony to who you are. He's also saying, look at your God, look at Jesus, and believe in Him. Remember the gospel that He's already written. Believe the gospel, and you have no reason to struggle in your assurance. You still struggle with your sin, still struggle in your flesh, we all do. And yet here He's trying to give you comfort in His Son, Jesus Christ, because He is the once-for-all sacrifice, not a continual sacrifice, as in the Old Covenant. That Jesus is your advocate if you have faith in Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, which is so clear, which is clear and yet very difficult to understand sometimes. Father, we know that we have a great gospel, the good news. We know that the bad news is that we've sinned. And even when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins and for the sins of all types of people who have faith in Him. So Lord, we pray this day that You would give us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice and His resurrection and His ascension and sitting now at the right hand of God the Father, ready to come to judge the living and the dead on the last day. Father, we praise You for Your Son and praise You for His sacrifice, praise You for His death on the cross, but living that perfect righteous life, which gives us and merits to us His righteousness, which we didn't have before You. And as He pleads with us, as He shows in John 17, He pleads for us before You. Hear Him. And do not say no to Him. Pray that You would, as You look at us, see His righteousness. And that You would grant to us comfort. You would grant to us assurance. We all need to grow in that assurance, Father, if we are in You. Because sometimes we struggle. We have doubts. And Lord, even today as we go into Genesis, we pray that You would strengthen our assurance because of Your faithfulness to Your promises. Lord, one of the clearest promises that if we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, You will save us. And so we pray that we would do that now. Even if we're already believers, we would always continually call upon the name of the Lord and know that we will be saved and we will be delivered from our sins and we will be delivered unto eternity. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.